Conciliums with Pete and Charlie.
I'm Pete.
I'm Charlie.
The unity of knowledge.
That and a whole bunch of caffeine is what's going to get us through this. Let's begin today with your colleague from the library, Fred's comment about my accessories.
Oh, you want to talk about yourself?
No.
Scuba Pro Jet Fin.
They don't even make the Scuba Pro Jet Fin anymore. Aficionados of scuba diving.
It looks very uncomfortable.
We'll recognize those as the dive fin of choice of special forces, Navy divers, and SEALs
Pete
from like 3 decades ago.
A couple of of flippers, feet flippers, yeah. Into the studio.
I guess. Call them fins.
Don't care.
Adults do.
Don't care. Some big old snowshoe looking feet flippers. So if you put those on and you weren't in the water, you would...
It would be difficult to walk.
Any animal, any predator could take you down.
Yes. But in fact, the modern fins, many of which are longer, are even harder to walk in. So they're kind of compact. And I have them here only because I'm going to be working with the scuba program next semester.
Nice.
I'm training to be a dive master. And basically the way they do it is actually very good here at Georgia Tech. They just get you in there working all the classes.
Is this an advertisement?
No, it's not. No, I'm just saying educationally, I like the way they do it here.
You and I talk a lot about the deterioration of our bodies.
Indeed.
I look at those flippers and I just think, oh man, I live a life of the mind, not of the body. And I think it's really starting to backfire on me.
But as we age, our mind just gets in many respects better, but our bodies just deteriorate. So you got to work at the body thing.
You really have to work at the body thing. Although I read recently, there's a book called How to Stay Sane, and it's by Philippa...
You gave me another book about how to exercise or something. Are we going to do that on a podcast?
Did I give you that? Oh, yeah, that's right. One of the School of Life books.
Yeah, I have to read that.
Well, you have to read it for us to do it, don't you? Let me find her name real quick.
But basically, I have tendonitis in my knee, so I've now that I've rested.
You've got to stay in the pool.
I've trimmed it back to running once or twice a week.
Philippa Perry. So how to stay sane from the School of Life, which you can actually find. It's on Picador or published by Picador
with
here
a giant
in America.
Plastic case on the back filled with antidepressant medication.
The third section is called stress. And so, of course, that's the one I read first. And it said a thing about good stress. And this is actually, this is bizarrely, I didn't even realize it was going to happen. This is a segue into the article you brought in. So, talking about good stress, that the mind as a muscle, right, that particular metaphor works very well when you think about challenges, when you think about trying to figure problems out.
Mental challenges, yeah.
And trying to absorb and understand something new.
Right.
Or trying
Which
to
Which is
say,
stressful. New things are stressful.
I mean, like in the literal sense, like it puts stress on, right?
Yeah.
But you then you have to keep those connections firing. Those synapses have to stay wet and firing, which
so
is I guess
hopefully you remain agile mentally.
Yeah. That's like that's how you electrocute all the sharks in your head, right?
Uh-huh.
But the stress of arguing
neuroscience,
your point,
a la Charlie Bennett.
Hey, you know, I will never ever have to deal with
you
anybody's
have to electrocute
brains,
the sharks,
right?
Okay.
I mean, I just won't have to. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
What I understand about how the brain works,
mm-hmm.
until my child says, "Daddy, how does the brain work?" And I'll say, "Well, let's get a book."
Okay, because you're a librarian.
One of my favorite things about neuroscience is the reminder that look, your brain is not a computer. You know, throw a computer down the stairs, see what happens. Your brain's more—it's more like a bag of oranges.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
this and it's more agile than a computer. In terms
but if you
of
throw a bag of
itself.
Oranges down the stairs, mm-hmm. first off, you're a maniac. Second off, look at how many oranges are fine and how many oranges are pulped. Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I understand neuroscience.
It's actually, I've heard worse metaphors.
Great big wad of citrus. Really that's what's going on in your face. The point is, good stress. Uh-huh. Keeps you younger,
yeah.
Mentally, good stress being sort of this.
Well, the
kind of
same thing is true physically.
Self-contained kind of argument, and then you know, pushing yourself and doing something with your body that's different than what it normally does
yeah.
is actually probably better than a ritualistic exercise routine that the body's now like,
actually, oh, yeah, they have, they believe that you sort of get used to things.
Yeah. So. This is that cross trainer sort of thing.
So I've added, of my 64 laps, which is about a mile in the pool, I added 20 with my fins on, which is good because it's actually a different kind of thing. Your legs have to get used to it. Your ankles get really stressed when you dive with fins. And one of the guys who is a scuba instructor here said, oh, it gives you a great workout. And I thought, really? I mean, it just makes me go faster. And it does. You really zip through. You beat everyone in the pool. But here's the thing. By length 15 in a 25-meter pool, I thought my heart was going to explode yesterday. I mean, it really, you got to slow it down. I mean, it's tough. But it's good. But people look at you funny.
Because you got
like you're a
on.
Frog man or something. Like, eh.
Isn't that actually what some people call scuba divers?
Frogman was an older term. Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, if you do watch films like Heartbreak Ridge, the fins those guys were diving with, I'm pretty sure they were Scuba Pro Jet fins. They might have been U.S. diver fins, but they were these heavy black rubber ones. Nowadays, nobody dives with these. They dive with these funny fuchsia, long, fancy-looking things. And I probably have to get some of those because they are better.
So check it out. Remember how I was saying it was a segue?
Yeah.
It's actually a segue to the other article, even though we planned on doing this one.
Oh, okay.
Diversity.
Oh, diversity.
And good stress.
Okay.
Think about it, right? The line. So
I think you're reaching here.
No, I am not. Here is the academia's rejection of diversity by... Well, there's no name on this.
Crap, did I send you an article without a...
It's just, it's the New York Times, 2015, October 31st.
Normally,
opinion.
I include the byline. That is horrible of me. We'll have to look that up.
Well,
correct,
I mean,
that
this
later.
Printout should include the byline. Okay, we'll look it up in a minute.
Okay.
While you're talking, I'll get on the internet.
While I'm babbling incoherently.
Exactly. So the start of it is, one of the great intellectual and moral epiphanies of our time is a realization that human diversity is a blessing.
Do you believe that?
Well,
some people don't.
I'm totally fine with it. It has become conventional wisdom that being around those unlike ourselves makes us better people and more productive to boot. So that sounds perfectly fine to me. I mean, I think the people who disagree with, you know, the idea of diversity, they're really channeling xenophobia in a particular way, especially folks who think that we talked about this briefly. There is a movement to equate diversity with white genocide, i.e. the idea that diversity and diversity initiatives are creating, not creating, but making white, American white, a minority.
Well, because white is the majority in America.
Is it still the majority or is it just the plurality?
It's the majority in a lot of places. Soon it's going to be, it's converting to the plurality.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think we're going to be the minority anytime soon, but they're scared even of the plurality.
Right.
But that's going to happen.
I have no idea how to engage someone in conversation who is, scared that, America won't become what will no longer be a white Christian nation. I just don't know how to have that conversation.
I don't have that conversation either, but there's a lot of them if you've watched the interviews about what people think of Donald Trump's statements.
Which
recently.
Is partially part of what this article is describing. Now, this article or this opinion piece, to sum up, it says, look, if you create an ideological echo chamber, right, if all of your political leanings are the same in your academic department,
right,
it's much less likely that you'll have vigorous and interesting intellectual debate.
Yeah, and I agree. We should have diversity.
And that's probably more true in, say, the humanities than it is in the sciences, because at a certain point, I believe that it's not whether you're Republican or Democrat, whether the polymer melted, you know? But understanding the narrative behind the data.
But science and engineering policy is relevant.
Exactly, yeah. And in fact, one of the things here was, this was a very, there's all of these tricks in this this story. The World Bank presented identical data sets to employees under two different pretexts. Some employees were told the data was measuring the effectiveness of a skin rash cream, while others were told the same data measured the effects of minimum wage laws on poverty. Now, I would very much like to see what was changed. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that the minimum wage law data and the skin cream data were simply the same numbers. with completely different...
Yeah, hopefully.
The politicized context of the second question led more erroneous analyses, and the accuracy of left-leaning respondents plummeted when the data conflicted with their worldview. So, one, I think that that's a bit of a mug's game on the whole, the data, because if it's completely false data and someone's trying to get a result out of it, you're going to feel a little bit like, well, this is not right.
Maybe, but maybe they don't know it's false data.
No, no, I understand that, but I'm saying if you don't, like, if you got the numbers, here are the speeds of Pete swimming for the past 6 weeks. If they gave that to you and they were wrong, you would say to yourself, this doesn't seem right. This is not how fast I am, right?
Right.
Even not knowing that it's false
data. I would want to retake the data.
So there's a little bit of, if you give someone false data or you give someone, what do you call it, non sequitur data, right? They might then be erroneous in their analyses because they're sort of...
Because they're making an assumption about something,
And so then that's just
we don't know
bias
the details
towards
of
some
study.
Kind of understanding as opposed to a bias politically.
But are they saying that if you give me something about, you know, helping poverty-stricken people, will I tend to lean toward a program that probably isn't effective simply because I believe that poverty is a bad thing and we should try to
eradicate it? I don't think they're
even
going towards, like, policy here. Oh, okay. They're really just going for the understanding of results, right? You know, getting to conclusions, right? It would seem that your politics can distinctly change how you understand the data from an experiment. So you need to have, I guess, reality checks from both sides. You know?
Yeah, I think so.
But then also, just at its core, if you to argue your points, right, to argue your worldviews, is to have them change and have them absorb and refine, you know, absorb
evolve.
Thank you. Yeah. But to absorb arguments, right, and then maybe understand, like, oh, and when I argue against this, I see there's some holes over here. You know, there's no hermetically sealed ideology when it comes to American politics. You know, there are these giant buffets filled with rotting food.
I agree. It is a broad, diverse selection of views,
and it mostly tastes awful.
Lately, yes.
Right? I mean, I have more often than not wanted people to get the fuck off my side in political arguments, even when they were arguing for things that I believed. Like, I just don't. It's shocking to me the way that people are attacking my beliefs and supporting my beliefs.
Yeah.
You know, like if to make a very blunt, awful example, you know, I think the sky is blue. Do you think the sky is blue, Peter?
Indeed, I do.
Yeah, and it's blue because, as we know, Xenu made it blue. It's like, okay, whoa. I don't even want you to support me in how the sky is blue because of the way that you want to support me. That's what's happening for me. And I guess I just picked on the Scientologist. That's Xenu, right?
Yeah, I believe Xenu is. I was going to go. Are you going for the Scientologist throat here?
I don't really care about the Scientologists.
Yeah, I don't care either.
They do their own thing. I mean, you ought to maybe go after Philip Morris more than Scientology.
Because they knowingly distorted
No,
the
just more
data.
Damage. More damage and more money from Philip Morris.
Yeah. But what's interesting is I believe we need diversity of view. But I think you have to evaluate your views and the application thereof by the consistency. What bothers me is the inconsistency and the hypocrisy. You can't cherry pick something out of your views and use it to your advantage at one point and not say, oh, hey, yeah, in this situation, we would be this way. So I try to – my views tend to be liberal, but I think my views are consistent. I am all for welfare reform. I'm all for able-bodied people contributing to the economy and things like that. But when someone like Donald Trump, can I go there?
I guess, okay. Yeah, sure. Now, this will happen a few weeks from now. So for all we know, in the intervening time between this recording...
He could have changed his fascist ways.
He could have torn his face off and revealed the lizard person beneath.
Yeah.
Although, you know what? Someone told me that the lizard people conspiracy, which I thought was much more
we have
fun.
That?
Oh, yeah, it's out there. It turns out that it is another one of those, like, fundamentally about the Jews conspiracy. The
what
lizard
the,
people
what do the Jews
are
get
the Jews.
Blamed for everything?
Don't know. I got no idea.
I mean, is this...
Although well, I did read a catechism from, you know, like the 50s, mm-hmm. right? You know, like who killed our Lord Jesus Christ? Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ was killed by the wicked Jews. I mean,
is this is the Catholics then?
Yeah, the
yeah,
Catholic
if it's a catechism.
It's a
that's
catechism,
their word.
Right? Yeah, so yeah. It's the book, and it's like it's the call and response. It was for a Sunday school thing, so for children. So they gave the children these words, and they made them recite yeah. them. So like
that
just
might have been
the
before
fact that
Vatican II.
It was clearly right. So just the phrase "wicked Jews" being, you know, like, hey, say this, kids, over and over and over again. Yeah. It'll program you. I mean,
yeah.
all that
it's,
stuff
it's
about like linguistics and semantics and all that, and yeah. how like saying the words will yeah. actually program you to believe it. I don't need any data for that, mm-hmm. right? Because you know that you can talk yourself into things. You know that you yeah. can speak a truth and make it true if it's psychological.
But what bothers me about his recent fascist statement, and I don't say that in the pejorative sense, his views are fascist. If you look up fascism in the dictionary.
Now, wait. Yeah. Does Trump want the state to control, you know, the means of production? And like,
well, so that's more communism. Fascism is when industry merges with the state to run things. That's probably the loosest definition of it.
I guess it's the flip side. But also, I mean, is he fascist or is he just like this insane sort of...
Yeah, I think his views are fascist, but his recent statement is just unconstitutional. It goes against everything on which this place was founded. And if you look at the hypocrisy of it, if you believe that because a number of terrorist groups are associated with Islamic people, that you should, you know, ban Islamic people from in here. He talked about closing mosques and things like that. Then you can take the same argument and say most of the people that bomb abortion clinics and shoot people at Planned Parenthood are associated with more of a right-wing Christian religious philosophy. We should close churches. You just can't do that. And I'm an agnostic/atheist guy. I don't believe in any of these religions. You cannot do it. We are founded on religious freedom. We're founded on that, including my freedom not to believe in any of these hoo-ha religions.
Wait. Hoo-ha.
I said it, hoo-ha.
Okay.
That's my view. I don't know what the ultimate metaphysical nature of the universe is. I don't know what happens when we die. My dog recently passed away, and my mom passed away in the spring, and people keep asking me, where do you think they go? I don't know. I hope Nicolas Cage shows up in a long duster coat, like in the movie City of Angels, and takes me somewhere to a transcendent plane
but
of new existence.
Those cosmological beliefs have very little to do with freedom of religion.
Oh, they don't?
And we're just as normal. We're just riffing here.
That's
right?
Okay.
But I just don't think your cosmological view and your metaphysical view
yeah.
has very little to do with what we are talking about when we say freedom of religion.
What are we talking about when we say freedom of religion?
Stuff like, you know, what crazy ass belief you have doesn't stop you from taking part in the liberal democracy. And liberal actually means something, not as, you know, opposed to conservative
yeah.
you know, like the French style,
right?
Freedom style. But you know, okay, if you and I believe all the same things about how the world works and mm-hmm. and you know and we're both skeptical, I mean this is not true,
right.
Like, but we're both skeptical and we both believe how the world works and we think that, you know, minimum wage should be a little bit higher and we shouldn't get into wars, and you think that the flying spaghetti monster does his thing and I think that there's a lifeguard God, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is so that's so irrelevant to how we discuss how the country works, right?
It should be, but for many people it's not.
Well, is it really, or is it simply that mm-hmm. because of your silly myths that you believe, whatever mm-hmm. they might be, yeah. you might then have some ideas about how the world should work.
Right.
But you could have those ideas about how the world works without having the same silly myths. And people who have different myths then have the same ideas about how the world works, right?
The way I believe the world should work is very consistent with many of the major religions in terms of ethics and morals, but I just don't have the myth.
So what really we're talking about when we talk about freedom of religion is that, you know, being a citizen, right, and being a participant should not require any particular particular ritualistic participation.
Right, but it also means you can do whatever rituals you want, and we cannot restrict that unless it harms,
that's the least of it.
Oh,
you
really?
Know? Yeah, because I don't, and you know, I know there's some people who are just like, you're an idiot. They're thinking that about me right now.
And it may be true.
It might
sometimes
be true.
He is. Sometimes I'm an idiot. It's
but,
all right.
But the you know, so for me, the things you do, right, like the rituals you engage in, that's the law stuff. That's like, you know, if you believe Santeria, if you are a practicer of Santeria, and there's some chicken killing that goes with your religion, then the way we have to apply freedom of religion is you don't get a ticket for having done that.
Right.
During your rites or the peyote as sacrament thing. You know, it's like you don't get put in jail for using peyote. Right?
Those guys in the Rastafarians are getting a bad rap.
So that's how the laws are applied to the individuals who've engaged in ritual.
Okay.
I am talking about what the real kicker is, the freedom of religion thing is.
What is the kicker?
Is that you don't
I'm so obtuse. I was not aware of this.
You don't have to pass some kind of test of religion or ritual to be able to participate or be a citizen.
I can vote even though I don't believe in a formalized religion.
Right. You can
how nice.
You can own land despite not being a blah, right? That's the real, that's how the government has to.
Because you realize in European countries, religion is more institutionalized. They don't have a religious test. But when you fill out official documents, when I registered as an alien in Switzerland, there was a space for religion. And it's funny, wherever I moved, I had to register at the post office. And I'm like, well, it seems a little restrictive. And the Swiss were like, why? We have to do the same thing, too. And that's okay. That's their thing. They keep track of everyone. But everything's clean. So it's worth it.
So like registering for a political party, you register for a religion.
You had to put down a religion. There were only certain ones you could put down. But I knew the German word for Catholic, so I wrote it down. I thought it was just, and I'm really kind of a lapsed Catholic. I'm like George Carlin, you know. But
well, George Carlin's dead.
Well, like he was when he was alive. In that respect, I'm not like George Carlin. And it turns out that it's all systematic, that if you register that way, the Catholic Church actually deducts part of their tithing from your salary.
Oh, my God, was I
pissed when I found that out. I'm like, no way, dude. And a good friend of mine.
So the state takes part in how the rituals.
But you can go to a Catholic church and just not write that down. It's just a paperwork snafu that I wasn't aware of. But here's how you get out of it.
But there's no way that would ever exist in America.
And you're allowed to get it taken off your record, but here's how you have to do it.
Except that people say we're a Christian nation.
My friend Marcus Weck, who has since left Georgia Tech, he's now at NYU. Really interesting guy. In order to get that off his record, you have to get excommunicated by the Catholic Church. So you have to go in and have a bishop write a letter saying, you are excommunicated.
You're out.
Letter, and I think he carries it with him. It's like a badge of honor for him to be excommunicated. I would get excommunicated from the Catholic Church if it meant them not taking more deductions out of my paycheck. If I want to give to a Catholic charity.
Sorry, anything you do in Switzerland or no, in Sweden, anything you do in Sweden, it gets a little 10% taken off the
top. Oh, no. This is Switzerland.
Sorry. So anything you do in Switzerland, just 10%
off the top. Well, if you click this box.
But you've done it. So now anytime you go
re-register? No, I would probably have to re-register. And, you know, when I was a kid going to Catholic Church, excommunicated, that means you're going to hell. Now I don't really believe that literally.
Right.
So I would be like, excuse me, I'd like to be excommunicated. I just think it's funny.
So, academics, rejection of diversity. What do you think?
We tend to be liberal for the simple reason that liberal thought thinks that the world isn't perfect and we should still be working to make it so, right? Conservative thought means things are good the way they are in a very loose sense.
Do you think, this is one of those, really, is it liberal and conservative? Is that where we're at now?
But when I say liberal and conservative, I don't mean politically.
I know. Yeah, but just
I mean philosophically.
Yeah, but like that, you say, well, academics tend to be liberal. It's kind of like, well, I don't think that's true in the sense that the way that liberal has been created as liberal is Democrat. Liberal is
That's not true in that sense.
Lefty, you know, it's like it's just
no. Yeah, I don't necessarily think that. But we do also tend to be more liberal.
Liberal small l, liberal non-political liberal, right?
No, I think we actually tend to be both big L and little l.
But here at Tech, it's like a raging sort of conservative.
Actually, engineers are the most conservative of academics.
Right?
Yeah, we are. That's the studies have borne that out.
And isn't a lot of that because, and like this is a wide brush here, but because a lot of political programs that are considered lefty or liberal or democratic are often attempts to solve a problem without a lot of data to back them up because they haven't been done.
No. Economic studies indicate that managing wage distributions actually can help the economy perform better. These people that say, oh, minimum wages, they're full of shit. You're an economist. You know, look at the data. And if you want to argue the data, but if you want to argue the data, that's okay. Argue the data. Do your own study. You know, analyze this stuff.
So why are engineers conservative?
Engineers are that's a good question.
And why aren't you? And why do you think you tend towards liberalism, you know, as a group when you're actually engineers who are conservative?
I'm liberal in some ways, and I'm fiscally conservative. I mean, do these people not read John Maynard Keynes? Do they not understand why we deficit spend? We're deficit spending for some stupid stuff. We really are. And we're deficit spending so that a lot of really rich people can get richer. It's just wrong. You know, and I'm not saying people that are able-bodied who can work don't need to get off their bony asses and work. I mean, that's a conservative
view. You don't have to be able-bodied to work, Pete. There's lots of other ways that you can be a productive member of society.
By able-bodied, I think I meant that in a broader sense. You can be a
you should
paraplegic
lose
and you're
the broader sense.
You're able-bodied. Yeah, able-minded really is what I'm thinking of.
There you go.
But some people have difficulty working because
you know,
if you're
get a crazy person to
if you're
do
basically
some job.
Just you suffer from some malady where you cannot function on a daily basis, like us.
A malady. How romantic is that? Would that we suffered under a malady?
Then we could blame it on said malady.
Do you argue politics with anyone you work with?
Yes, I do.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I would never.
We have vigorous debates. I have colleagues that are rather conservative. But because they're engineers, because they're academics, because they're smart people who read and think, we agree on things. You know, so for example, I'll pick on my friend Cliff Henderson, who's one of my closest friends here at Georgia Tech. And we actually agree on a lot of very practical views. So he's conservative. I tend to be liberal. But on this drug thing.
Which drug thing?
You know, the war on drugs.
No, actually doing them?
No. I think I hang out with more comedians, so I'm probably more in favor of that than he is. Although I've gone drinking with this guy. He can put them away.
The drug war.
Yeah, we just think it's silly to invest $1 trillion to chase people down for a nickel bag of weed. Yeah.
Now,
we take similar views to Ron Paul and Rand Paul.
Do you think that Cliff ought to be? No, you don't.
Well, Ron Paul believes the same thing about drugs.
I don't think he does, actually. I think that is a total.
Yeah,
like,
he does want to legalize
like
heroin, though. That frightens me a little bit.
Know? Like it just.
Oh, do you?
I do, actually.
I take the man at his word. I believe what he says. Are you saying you don't believe him?
I guess I don't.
Yeah, maybe he's full of crap.
Yeah. Anyway, the drug war.
Yeah.
Right. So where should Cliff fall on that if he's conservative? And where should you fall if you're liberal?
Actually, we fall on the same thing.
Right.
That I'm sure we disagree on some details.
Yeah, so far,
but to spend trillions of dollars.
You have not described any disagreements, political or otherwise.
Oh, but I guess we have other disagreements about the economy and these social programs.
Does it help you? Does it help you be diverse and
it does. Because my friend Cliff's a very smart guy. And he can make arguments with reason and logic and data. And I am forced to defend my view.
With reasons and logic
and data.
And
sometimes my view evolves.
And knives.
Or sometimes my view evolves. Because we have arguments.
Does it?
I think it does.
Pete, aren't you stuck in your ways?
No,
aren't you essentially wearing the flippers of liberalism, unable to?
Don't make fun of my exercise regime and the fact that I'm attempting to be diverse.
You know what? I think I will.
Consilience with Pete and Charlie is a podcast about the intersection of science and the humanities.
Recorded at the WREK studios on the campus of the Georgia Institute of Technology.
And do our opinions reflect those of Georgia Tech or WREK?
I don't think so.